most people don't realize how much personal information is bought and sold daily. Data brokers collect your data from public records and the internet, selling it without your consent to scammers and telemarketers. That's where Aura comes in. Aura automatically removes your data from broker sites and alerts you to dark web breaches. Plus, you get complete identity theft protection, a VPN, antivirus, and a password manager all in one app. Start your free trial at aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, happy Monday to you, America. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. So this Annalee Belshe. I'm not a big fan of MS Now, PMS Now, never have been. And Annalee Belshe is making headlines because of something he said about America. And you know, one of the things that really bothers me is all of the folks out there that are taking cheap shots at our great nation, that are attacking the America 250 celebration. As a matter of fact, Annalee Belshe went on TV and said he was conflicted about all of this. I want you to listen to what he had to say.
In 1 month, America will mark the 250th anniversary of its founding. Like previous anniversaries, there is a deep unease about this. I feel a deep unease about these celebrations to which I am invited to mark the 250th anniversary of our so-called democracy.
Yes, yeah, so he's feeling very conflicted. He has great deep unease about celebrating the land of the free and the home of the brave. This one, Annalee Belshe. And here's what you may not know about this guy, though. For those of you who do not watch PMS Now, which is pretty much most of the country, this guy is actually a naturalized citizen. He was born in Kenya, raised in Canada, and then in 2015. So he's barely been an American citizen for, a decade. And now here he is crapping all over our country. Now, we welcome this guy into the nation. And by all measures, he is apparently living the American dream. We did a little bit of research here on the show before we started the program today, and apparently this guy is worth as much as $5 million. You really think that would have happened if this guy would have still been living in Kenya? No, he would have been living in a hut. Or what about Canada? You think he really would have been making $5 million a year living in Canada? I don't think so. But again, as much as Annalee Belshe hates our nation, and he hates our nation, he doesn't like us, he's coming here and he's actually worse than the illegals, because he is only taking from us. That's all this is to him. You know, when there was a time in American history when people, you know, came to this country, the immigrants, they came here to find a better life, but they also wanted to embrace the American ideas and ideals. I know that's what my great-grandfather did when he came to this country. He fled Germany after World War I, and they came to this country, and they learned the language. As a matter of fact, my grandfather, when he turned 18 years old, joined the military, fought in World War II, was a glider pilot. Our family did our part, just like many, many other immigrant families. And they went out there and they lived their lives and they loved this country and they were grateful for everything they had. And they tried to assimilate into the culture. And that's what generations of immigrant families have done in this country until, over the past two decades. And now we have seen a very shocking thing, which is the Balkanization of the United States of America. And this is playing out especially now in the Islamist communities, where if you live in a town or community and the majority of the people in that community are in fact Muslim, you got big problems on your hands. big problems. And that's because these folks are no longer assimilating. They want to bring their country and they want to bring the evil that they were fleeing, and they want to insert it here into America. That's not what the Great American Melting Pot is all about. They're not melting anymore. So now you have these communities that are predominantly Somali. You have Kenyan neighborhoods, and it goes on and on and on. But again, you think Ali Velshi, you think he's going to move? You think he's going to go back to, I know he hates our country. Do you think he's really going to move? No, of course not. And you know why? Because he knows that if he was in Kenya, there's no way he would ever be able to make $5 million and live the lifestyle that he lives now. He's living the good life. And that's why he can sit there every night on MS Now and crap all over America. And it just seems to me that on the 4th of July, while Americans are out there, I don't know, toasting our founding fathers and enjoying what the burgers and the hot dogs and the fireworks and the marching bands with the Sousa and the parades, maybe, just maybe, all of these aggrieved immigrants like Ali Velshi and Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and all the others, maybe they ought to just shut up and try to show a little bit of gratitude. And if they can't do that, then you know what? Delta is ready when you are, and I'm sure you'll be able to book a one-way ticket back to whatever third world hellhole you came from in the first place. But that's just my opinion. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tomorrow is Election Day, and it is going to be wild in California. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on with Wendy Patrick, who is going to drop by. She is an expert on all things California. And Wendy has been following the gubernatorial race as well as the mayoral race. And Spencer Pratt, by the way, is actually doing quite well in the polls. So we're going to share the latest polling data there. And he was also on Bill Maher's show, and I was glad to see that. We're also following developments out of Iran. And the president is really upset at anybody who doesn't appreciate what he's trying to do. The problem is nobody really knows what he's trying to do, right? So I don't know what we're waiting on. I really don't. At this point, the president has already been justified many times over. The president has been justified in going in and obliterating the Iranians, which I thought that was the plan all along. But the president is now very upset at what he calls the Democrats and all of the Republicans who are complaining about this war. Now, look, I'm not complaining about the war. What I'm complaining about is the lack of communication. What exactly are we over there for? What is the end game? Because right now it's just ceasefire after ceasefire after ceasefire, and Iran keeps breaking the ceasefire. And the latest from about an hour ago, Iran is now halting its indirect talks with U.S. negotiators to protest Israel's attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon. It's a big mess is what it is, a big mess. And let me just tell you, if the United States, if we were able to just, we need to go in there and what was the original idea? I think the original, I'm trying to go back, there have been so many iterations here, but I believe originally we were going in to completely eliminate their nuclear program. So can we just do that and then just get out? I mean, if regime change is not on the table here, which they told us originally regime change was never on the table. So if that's really it, then just go in there, obliterate the nuclear program, and get out. Gas prices go back down. Grocery prices will start dropping. And I'm telling you, what will be a very good November for Republicans could very well be an incredibly great November for Republicans, because the Democrats are in a tailspin right now. Just a few moments ago, this in from the Persian Gulf, a Panama-flagged trade vessel attacked in the Persian Gulf, suffered a large explosion. This is according to the British Maritime Trade Organization. They say the vessel was hit with a projectile on its starboard side. No word on who might have done that, but I think we can all take a wild guess. So anyway, concerns you might have about Iran. We understand that the U.S. intercepted two Iranian ballistic missiles over Kuwait, which is great news. But again, what are we doing here? This is supposed to be a ceasefire. So we're gonna talk about this. Open up the phone lines today. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnesPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. So, over the weekend, Jackson Dart comes out, and man, this guy just he's a good guy. Comes from Utah. He's one of the he's a Mormon, and family values the whole nine yards. So this poor guy was invited to introduce President Trump at some sort of a rally, an event, and it was something very innocuous. And so Jackson Dart gets up there, and the president was very thankful and said some nice things about him. And all you know what is broken loose. And so now you have the NFL coming after this guy, and it's ugly. His own teammates are coming out against him. As a matter of fact, in the sports world, they can't stand this guy at all. As a matter of fact, here is Abdul Carter, who plays for the Giants. Cut number 7, please.
So first off, I'm going to say that some things are bigger than football, and this is one of those things. Jackson is one of our leaders. He's the face of our franchise. He not only represents himself and what he does, but he represents all of us. And that goes for anybody who wears a Giants uniform. But if he chooses to align himself with a man like President Trump, it's my responsibility, based on what I believe and what I stand on, to not only show my teammates that I'm against that, but to show the world. And that doesn't mean that we have to spread hate. It doesn't mean that me and Jackson hate each other or we have beef. I sit next to Jackson every day, every team meeting, we close, we talk. You know, we just, as long as we make sure we got the same goal as a team and our goals align, which they do, and I feel like that's all that matters. So I just want to move past this, and yeah, that's it.
No, it's not it. And, you know, people are saying, oh, well, Jackson Dart needs to apologize. What does he need to apologize for? Exactly. What does he need to apologize for? He was asked to introduce the President of the United States, and this young man did exactly as he was asked to do. So what is there to apologize for? No one's ever really stopped to answer that question. So here's what gets me about this guy, Abdul Carter, who's with the New York Giants. So this guy is nothing more than a raging hypocrite. And I say that because he is a huge fan of Lawrence Carter. Now, Lawrence Carter is the Hall of Famer, New York Giants, and they actually, as a rookie, Abdul asked the Giants if the team would be willing to unretire the number 56 jersey so that he could wear that in honor of his hero, Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor is a big Trump guy. He's a Trump supporter. So my question now is to Abdul, all right, are you going to hold Lawrence Taylor to that same standard you're holding to Jackson Dart? Well, you know what? This is insane. But again, it shows you, ladies and gentlemen, the attitude of the media and the sports media especially. I want you to listen to cut number 8.
All right, it's time to have an uncomfortable conversation about what the hell is going on in New York. Jackson Dart, the quarterback, supporting President Donald Trump? He's allowed to do that. He's a citizen. He's allowed to have a freedom of thought. Abdul Carter, first-round pick, his teammate calling him out? He's allowed to do that. If Jackson Dart's allowed to support Donald Trump, then his teammate is allowed to support his grievances with him doing that. Here is my issue. Jackson Dart, you know how several of your brothers, your teammates, your friends, your ride or dies, how they might feel about this individual. So I don't think there's a lot of wisdom or discernment in very publicly supporting an individual who many of your teammates feel offended by. So yes, Jackson Dart, you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want. But I don't know that it's a super wise decision without necessarily consulting in some of your teammates. Abdul Carter, you're allowed to express your frustrations with it. I don't think it's super wise to do it publicly because now you got 36 million people looking at a tweet of Abdul Carter, you calling out your boy. Keep in mind, y'all are both supposed to be the future of the New York Giants. One a first-round quarterback, one a first-round edge rusher. Y'all both supposed to be the face of the franchise. So with that being said, Jackson Dart, I don't personally have an issue with him supporting Donald Trump. He's a human. He can support who he wants to support. Was it pretty stupid given the reaction it will cause to his other brothers that are humans and have human emotions? Absolutely. I don't think it was wise. I don't got an issue with it. Abdul Carter, I don't have an issue with it either. Was it also unintelligent? Yes, because now you caused a distraction and the organization ain't won no games in a long time. But they're men. They can do what they want. It's going to be something to watch, though.
Well, and again, he does. Look, this sports broadcaster here for Fox Sports does have an opinion. He is offended by this. I don't recall any of the outrage when those players were up and supporting Barack Hussein Obama or Joe Biden. Nobody was doing that. And that's fine. But again, what exactly? You know, the guy says, well, the players are offended by Donald. Why are they offended? What is it that Donald Trump has done to these NFL players that has caused offense? Because as near as I can tell, for his entire career, President Trump, who, by the way, was one of the owners in the USFL, owned the New Jersey Generals, as a matter of fact, was one of the largest supporters of black athletes back in the day. I want to know, why are they offended by this guy? Or is it just because they're ignorant and stupid and they don't even bother to do their homework? Like Joy Behar, Joyless Behar over at The View. And she's really upset about this. Cut number 9.
But some people were not happy with Dart's open political endorsement. I mean, isn't he entitled to his...
It's America.
For
somebody to back a guy like Trump, whose history in discrimination and racism goes back to housing discrimination...
In the 70s,
DEI attacks, and posting pictures of the Obamas as apes... When he's on a team that's 55% to 60%, the NFL is that many people, that much percentage of black people, that is just the definition of stupidity and racist, in my opinion.
So you've got Joy Behar calling this guy a racist. You know what? He ought to turn around and sue the ever-living Joyless out of Joyless Reed. Unbelievable. But the broader issue here, ladies and gentlemen, is this. As much as the NFL is outraged over all of this, by the way, they were also outraged over the Kansas City Chiefs guy, Harrison, Butner, is that his name? Buckner?
Buckner, yeah.
Buckner, got up and gave a speech at a Catholic university and talked about, it was for commencement, and talked about how guys should marry women, women should marry guys, there should be traditional roles in the family and traditional values and all, you know what, broke loose. Then there was Tim Tebow, took a knee to pray. All you know what broke loose. But you know what? The NFL, when it comes to players who, I don't know, commit domestic violence, rape women, commit felony-level crimes, they turn a blind eye every single time. Every single time. We could spend the next hour going through the list of all the NFL players who have committed heinous crimes, and the sports media and the NFL has given these guys cover. If you ask me, they are more gracious to men who beat up women than they are players who actually support President Trump and worship Jesus. What does that tell you about the NFL, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Most people don't realize how much personal information is bought and sold daily. Data brokers collect your data from public records and the internet, selling it without your consent to scammers and telemarketers. That's where Aura comes in. Aura automatically removes your data from broker sites and alerts you to dark web breaches. Plus, you get complete identity theft protection, a VPN, antivirus, and a password manager all in one app. Start your free trial at aura.com/safe.
Well, certainly an exciting day tomorrow in California, and I don't know what's going to happen, but this is probably one of my favorite races that we've been following so far this political season, and you've got a couple of big ones. Of course, you've got the governor's race there, and then you've got the mayor's race in Los Angeles. Some new polling data that came out over the weekend seemed to suggest that Spencer Pratt was actually leading the field of three candidates. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always great to have our good friend Wendy Patrick with us, Newsmax columnist and just all-around expert when it comes to all things California politics. Wendy, hope you're doing well.
It's an exciting day, and tomorrow's going to be even better. So thank you for having me, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, this is just absolutely insane. And Wendy, first off, let's talk about the gubernatorial race, where you've got Chad Bianco, who's really getting nasty out there and urging Steve Hilton supporters to drop their support and embrace his campaign. I think the last polling data I saw, the guy was trailing in fourth place. What's the latest there on the governorship?
Yeah, you know, polling data, we always struggle to decide how much weight to put on that, because if we put a lot of weight on it, Hillary Clinton would be president. Remember back in 2016, we learned you just can't trust it. And I would even say the president's, just when he was reelected, I mean, it was one of those things that ticker from the New York Times just kept tipping in the Republican favor, even though everybody thought it was going to be Kamala Harris. But translate that more locally to California. Will that dynamic operate here? Here, I have to say, we have a unique slew of issues. Now, clearly, we have some of the same that you have on a national scale. We have affordability, housing, but we also have things like homelessness, which is rampant in California cities. In fact, some have said, and I think I shared this with you the other day, you go to Europe and you say you're from Los Angeles, people say, not Hollywood, but homelessness. That shouldn't be the hallmark of some of these great cities in the Golden State. So it's a little bit different when you look at the result of polls. I would say maybe trust them a little more, because the issues are so just in your own backyard relevant to Californians that are answering some of those poll surveys.
So I want to get your take on this, because I think my take may be controversial. I don't think for a minute that Steve Hilton, Chad Bianco, or even Spencer Pratt are like MAGA conservatives, right? I mean, they may be populist in their beliefs. They may be conservative-esque, but I don't think they're conservatives. And I sort of cringed when I saw Spencer Pratt work in the conservative media, Fox News, over the weekend. And I'm wondering, is that going to have blowback for maybe Democrats who thought, you know, hey, maybe he isn't, a MAGA conservative? Because I'm not sure that plays in a place like Los Angeles.
Definitely not, Todd. I don't think it's controversial. You know, what we're looking at here is what kind of people live here and what kind of issues are first and foremost on their minds. You know, I mentioned homelessness. That's always true. But in Los Angeles, you've got the fire danger. You've got hydrants with no water. You have insufficient cleanup efforts. Unsafe schools because of needles on the ground. All the different issues that are a bit unique here. So that's one of the areas, I suppose, where there's probably more common ground. But it's also true that it is a deep blue area, unlike other portions of the state. So I do think that portraying someone like Pratt as a MAGA conservative is not going to win him the audience he needs to advance in the polls. Now, he's an outsider and an underdog anyway, just given the fact that he showed up post-fire. Yeah. In order to really sort of make a difference. But that also doesn't mean that some of his ideas aren't going to gain traction.
My favorite Fox moment, I'm such a bad person today, Wendy. Let me preface this by saying I'm an evangelical Christian who is very conservative and a devout person of faith. But it drives me nuts when I see these Fox anchors say, tell me about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's just an awkward thing when they ask these candidates that question, especially candidates who may or may not be overtly religious. And I don't know anything about, and I think we just lost Wendy, but we'll get her back here in a moment. I don't know anything about Spencer Pratt's religious beliefs. Guys, if we could please turn that off. Thank you. Why is that important? Why is that important to know if Spencer Pratt is a Christian man, if you are going to cast a vote in the election? That makes absolutely no sense to me at all. But that's sort of the Fox way, and we can have a whole conversation at another time about how Fox News has been, grifting off of evangelical believers. It's an ugly thing. And it's a conversation worth having. But anyway, I think we've got Wendy back. But Wendy, I was just saying the other cringe question, I don't know why Fox always seems to need to know the religious affiliations of these candidates. Again, I'm not sure that has anything to do with why people are going to vote in Los Angeles or across California.
Yeah, it is true that sometimes if we have the luxury of being ideologically aligned with our candidates, that's a great thing. But it's also true, as you point out, we have the same kitchen table issues here in California. You know, it's one thing to say that nationwide, obviously, affordability is important. But California is unique in so many different ways, not just in its population demographic breakdown, which is an entirely another segment you and I can do at some point, but also in the common ground we share as to the type of statewide issues, healthcare, border. Not that every city isn't a border town. I understand that argument as well. But we feel it more uniquely here than anywhere else, especially where I'm from in San Diego. So it is true, religion is important. Ideally, it would be aligned, but it certainly isn't going to be the driving factor when it comes to what we're going to be voting on tomorrow. I can't believe it's almost here.
I know. What are you hearing boots on the ground? Are folks really excited about this? Or is it, again, is this sort of an inside baseball, inside politics kind of a race?
It seems like the latter in a lot of places that I go. The only reason that the primary is on people's minds is because of the drama that's been associated with it, particularly in the governor's race where you had the dramatic exit by Eric Swalwell. Well, all of a sudden people wanted to know, wait a minute, who is running for governor and who is Javier Becerra and how did he all of a sudden shoot to be the front runner? So too in Los Angeles, when Pratt declared his candidacy, all of a sudden it became interesting to Angelinos, as they keep calling the citizens. All of a sudden it became more interesting to watch. But even Todd, with all of that intrigue, there's still this push to get people out to vote. Yes, people are saying I would vote this way, that, or the other, but they may not actually cast a ballot or go to the polls. That's going to be tragic far as people that think that they're just going to follow the numbers and that's going to sort of translate into math.
You see, and that's for me, I'm just trying to figure out, okay, does Spencer Pratt actually have the mojo here? I mean, does he have the big momentum going into tomorrow, or is this just something that the media is hyping up?
Well, I think he has momentum in terms of star power, but a lot of his fans can't vote because they don't live in Los Angeles. I think plain and simple, that is one bit of uphill battle. All of the big heavyweights that are weighing in, the Joe Rogans of the world and the Todd Starnes of the media, you're all talking about him, and I think it's a great thing because he really has just risen to some prominence, whether you're going to vote for him or not. But the people that are eligible to cast that ballot may not view him the same way.
By the way, folks, we have Wendy Patrick joining us today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Of course, some shenanigans, LA Times, ABC7 in Los Angeles saying ballots were burned, a vote center vandalized just before Election Day. What do you make of all of that?
I have seen the same reports in other major cities, Todd. I hate to see something like this happen. I mean, everybody wants a fair election. Let's let people have their vote. You know, it's sort of like the fires that are being started all up and down California. There's just these unique dynamics in play that seek to just detract from what people are going to the ballots to do, elect somebody who's going to make their life better. When it comes down to it, regardless of star power, money spent, or anything else, people are going to vote for the candidate that are going to improve the lives of themselves and their families. No one likes to see anyone thwarting the ability of citizens to do exactly that.
You know, Wendy, one of the other things that we need to be watching out for tomorrow, and it's sort of, I think all the oxygen got sucked out of the room when it came to the governor's race and the mayor's race there in Los Angeles. But you've got some major primary battles underway that could very well decide the future control of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yes, and that's in light of the redistricting that went into play. And it's also in light of some candidates deciding at the last minute they're not going to run again. And on top of that, Todd, we have issues like a, you know, empty housing tax, where you can get taxed if your house is vacant for so many days. We have different types of propositions that are uniquely tailored to the conditions in California that maybe wouldn't be an issue in other states. And you're right, if you're focusing too much on the two biggest, most interesting, sexiest races in California, you're going to miss the opportunity to have your voice heard on some of the issues that may be more close to home for you, depending on where you live. So I always say, don't just vote for, you know, somebody that is capturing headlines in one way or another. Talk to your neighbors, your friends, your people of faith down at your church, and see what other issues you should be paying attention to on the ballot.
One of my favorites, Kevin Kiley, who has already switched. I mean, he's an independent now. He was a longtime Republican and now independent, trying to, you know, win his seat, even though he's been redistricted.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, redistricting has really caused a lot of consternation for people that were so used to really having some, I don't even know if we want to say safe seats, but safer seats, seriously, than they are now. And as this redistricting panel just kind of looks at different states now, trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to change the balance of power in Congress? Yes, people now are really having to work harder than they thought they would have, because their districts are no longer the safer areas they once counted on. And I, you know, if you look at a graphic of California as an example, it is stunning the way some districts are going to be very different tomorrow than in previous years.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching it all unfold tomorrow. And of course, we'll be doing analysis on Wednesday. Wendy, always appreciate you joining us. And by the way, folks, you can follow Wendy Lynn Patrick on Instagram, Wendy Lynn Patrick on Facebook. Great, great Newsmax columnist as well. And also an incredible career trial attorney. Wendy, always good to see you.
And Todd Starnes fan. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Take care, Wendy. All right. She's one of our favorites out there on the West Coast, everybody, and just does a terrific job of her analysis there. You know, it's interesting. Spencer Pratt was on with Bill Maher, and I thought he made some interesting points here, especially when it comes to the homeless crisis there in Los Angeles. Take a listen.
Cut ready two. For the best part? 60% of the people in Los Angeles that are experiencing homelessness. Yeah. They're not from California. They've been brought here by NGOs that profit off of this homeless industrial complex, Medicaid.
Wait. They've been brought here?
They've been brought here.
Who did that?
Body brokers bring these people here.
From where?
All across the country. If you're an addict, you can come to L.A. and get these rehabs and because you're Medicaid, you have a social security.
It's also, if you're going to be, shall we say, outdoors your whole life, it's better to be here than in Minneapolis.
100%.
You know, so a lot of these people. I think that's part of the attraction. I don't know if this is a big plot. No, you think this is a big.
There's a big part where this is, like, I talk to these people who are now sober, off fentanyl, off meth, and they say they got literally brought here through a rehab, trying to get off drugs. The money runs out, boom. Left on the street.
All right. Look, it's again, this is a shocking number. 60% of the homeless people in Los Angeles, not even from California, and they're being brought in by all of these NGOs. By the way, here's what Pratt had to say about his Jewish friends. And I want you to take a listen to this. Cut three.
I grew up in L.A. All my best friends are Jewish. I grew up going to Crossroads. I've been to more bar and bat mitzvahs than I'd been to church until I was maybe still tied to to the point where, of course, when I'm running for mayor, I'm going to temples, I'm supporting my Jewish friends. The level of psycho Nazi lunacy that came at me to just say that I want my friends and family to feel safe in LA, to feel safe if their kids go to UCLA. I had to see, if the only thing that came out of this whole experience, there's a lot of things, if I, God forbid, not, or God's plan, I don't win, to see what people experience right now just because of their religion is diabolical. And again, I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care what, I don't care how you identify. I don't care if you're trans. I don't care whatever you do, but you should have the right to do that and feel safe wherever you are, whether it's going to school, going to your popping trans bar, whatever it is, you should feel safe and not feel in danger.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's absolutely right about that. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody, and this segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Calitrin. They are my partners in the big slim down that is happening. Oh, sweet mercy. I needed that slim down, by the way, and I got a ways to go, but thanks to Calitrin, folks, the weight is starting to come off, and I got to tell you something. Summer starts in May. They've got the sale going on right now. It is their biggest sale of the year. Calitrin does this all year. The buy three, get three free. It's like paying half price. Go to toploss.com for more information. That's toploss.com or give them a call, 1-800-325-4366. That's 1-800-325-4366. I'm just telling you right now, I love Calitrin, and it has been a great, great addition to the big weight loss campaign here on the Todd Stearns radio show. All right, coming up in the next hour, man, this crazy story out of Maine. The Senate candidate for the Democrats, a guy by the name of Graham Platner, he is a Nazi, and now some insane text messages and other posts are coming out. His wife, Amy Gertner, is also responding to reports that she gave his campaign a heads up saying, hey, look, you need to be aware. My husband was sending sexually explicit text messages to several different women while we were married. And by the way, they're still married. Unbelievable. He also made some incredibly offensive posts about a wounded U.S. soldier. So we're going to get into that coming up in the next hour. It's just, folks, it is bonkers crazy. Also, gay pride celebrations happening all across America, and it's like an entire month of this where they're shoving the LGBT agenda right down your throats and your kids' throats. Some schools now, kindergarten schools, are now holding gay pride celebrations. They want the 4- and 5-year-olds to celebrate gay sex. By the way, the NFL as well, jumping on board, a number of the teams are putting out messages celebrating pride. And the folks, a lot of folks are really fired up about this. Now, with the NFL, I mean, yeah, we kind of figured they would be, you know, I get that. But all of these schools, and I want to go back to a central message here, and this is something we've talked about a long time on the program. All of these public schools that are out there holding these gay pride celebrations, they are in violation of President Trump's executive orders. So it just seems to me that the Department of Education needs to be enforcing the executive orders. It seems to me that any school that's holding, I don't know, a drag queen show or some sort of a pride, or they're doing the rainbow crap, every single one of those schools should be penalized. And how do you do that? Well, you yank their federal funding. I mean, it really is. It's not all that difficult, right? You just yank their federal funding. But again, this is the problem I have with the Trump Department of Education. It's all lip service. They're really not doing anything. They talk the big talk, but when it comes down to it, they're not doing anything. We've got to start doing something. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. I don't know what's going on there in the state of Texas. You got all the Islamists moving in. You've got mosques being set up on every street corner. And then there's a story out of Denton, Texas, about a local swimming pool. This is the taxpayer-funded swimming pool. And they're hosting an event coming up in a couple of days called the Big Gay Swim Day. And that's got a lot of people riled up. The Attorney General, Ken Paxton, is now suing the city of Denton to prevent the creation of gender-neutral changing rooms at a publicly owned, child-friendly swimming pool. I have many questions about this. First of all, why in the world are you having a big gay swim day at a child-friendly swimming pool? What is that all about? Unbelievable. So the event has been organized by two nonprofit groups. One is called Pride Denton, and another is called the Outreach Denton. This is all being held at the Quakertown Civic Center, which the city of Denton owns and controls. The center includes a public access swimming pool and sex-specific multiple occupancy changing rooms. In other words, girl parts go here, boy parts go here, and they all live happily ever after. The two nonprofit groups rented the center for an event that's advertised as Big Gay Swim Day and is open to all ages of the general public. Event organizers have publicly advertised that gender-neutral changing rooms, which would allow men to use the same changing rooms as women and kids, will be available on-site during the event. As the Attorney General points out, this is a clear violation of Texas law. Now, the Attorney General, writing in a statement that we've got a copy of, says cities cannot disregard Texas law by allowing men to change with young kids in spaces designated for women. The city of Denton had an opportunity to prevent this violation and chose to do nothing. That dereliction of duty will not stand, and I will ensure that Texas cities follow our state's laws to protect women and children from men invading their spaces. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, as the, Gay Pride Month kicks off. And the Attorney General is fighting back here. I'm very glad to see the Attorney General doing this. I mean, this is insanity. Dylan, have you ever been to one of the swimming pools, like a public swimming pool before?
Why did I know you were going to try to ask me about this?
I have a question, and yeah. This is my question, and I don't know, maybe... This is a terrible question to ask. Helen's going to need to leave the room. Helen, leave the control room. So here's my question. What's up with the Speedos and the thongs?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I don't get it. I mean, I get that. Fine. You're gay. Not you, Dylan, but in general. Okay, right, I get right. it. You're gay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Go live your life. What do I care? But why do you have to prance around in a thong?
Yeah. I mean, these are all excellent questions. I feel like the Speedo / thong by men was worn, like, wasn't it started in, like, the 70s or something? Like, wasn't this a thing? This used to be a thing for, like, straight males. It wasn't just for gay males at that point.
I reckon so. I don't get it. I didn't get it in the 1970s.
I just don't know. I don't have any friends that just go out and willingly buy Speedos for their beach trip. Like, I'll buy the 5-inch shorts. That's fine. But anything above that, that's crazy.
Well, you want to have everything. You know, I mean, back in the day, people, you know, wore clothes to the beach. You know, that was like a thing.
I guess.
I mean, if you're a woman and you want to wear a thong bikini, okay.
Yeah. Culturally acceptable.
That is culturally not acceptable. For men.
I guess if you want to get a good tan.
Unless you're on a church youth group trip, and then that could be, you know, problematic.
Oh, yeah, that's a talk. you're gonna be sent to a room.
That is true.
Yeah.
I am wondering, though, I've always just wondered that. Why is that? I mean, there's a place in New York City. This is great story. It's called Fire Island, and apparently that's where all the gays go to suntan in the summertime. And it's just it's like, I don't know, thongs as far as the eye can see. And then, I mean, if you're not into all of that, you know, you're probably just praying that Almighty God would just burn your irises. I mean, it's a lot to take in most cases. Well, not really. In some cases, a little bit. But all I'm saying is, why is it that the LGBT community has embraced the thong and the Speedo? And I fear for the children. I do. I mean, if this is a family friendly, you know, kids don't need to see that. That's going to be traumatizing. Oh, you know what's worse, Dylan? The big hairy dudes.
Yeah.
Big, burry, hairy, fat dudes.
Yeah.
Wearing the thongs. The children. Is anybody thinking about the children?
Surely not.
Mommy, what is Smokey the Bear wearing? I mean, it's just, what do you do?
Is that Bigfoot?
What do you say?
No, that's Carl.
No, that
he got those yesterday.
That's Carl. It's terrible. I'm just saying, they've got things for that. You know, they can help you. But just again, I just, you know, and the whole point of it is this: it's kind of like, oh, what is it? Is it San Francisco or Portland where they have the buck naked bicycle group and they run around during the Pride Parade and. God love them. I got to. That is dangerous, especially if you're not riding one of those banana seats. I mean, that could get painful. Not to mention the fact that you don't want to get anything caught in the spokes. I mean, that could be really devastating. So you've got all this stuff going on, and what is the whole point of this? The whole point of it is that it's debauchery. It is Sodom and Gomorrah on steroids. And the fact of the matter is, this is not a celebration. They're flaunting, and they want you to accept. They want you to accept the thong. That's it. That's what it's really all about. And they put it out there, and if you don't, well, they call you homophobic or whatever. This is. I want you to hear this. This is the pastor at Riverside Church in New York City, and this is some sort of a preacher, and he's wearing the rainbow colors, and this just happened Sunday. And I want you to hear what he had to say to all of you Christian people out there.
It's time that we start insisting that true Christian faith calls us to authenticity, celebrates broad diversity of humanity, and celebrates as we evolve and expand our understanding of God and the world. And that is why this morning I say from this historic pulpit on this Pride Eve service, according to the true faith of Jesus, homophobia is heresy. Transphobia is a transgression against God. And there is no justification in our faith tradition for treating queer people as less than the beloved children of God that they are.
All right. I got to tell you, that sounds a little, what is the theological word I'm looking for? Fruity to me. Yeah, that guy's a nut job. He's kind of like a reverend like James Tallarico. These people are Fruit Loops. So, look, this is what the churches across America are embracing. And right now, I just find this fascinating. We're going to get the calls in just a second. There's a brief aside here. So the Southern Baptist Convention, of which I am a member, I tithe, I've been involved in the Southern Baptist Convention for a very, very long time. And the Southern Baptist Convention is the only denomination in world history that went from being liberal back to embracing its conservative roots, its conservative theology. They call it the conservative resurgence. And as a result of that, the denomination flourished and grew, and people were getting saved and baptized, and churches were overflowing. And now there is a massive decline in the Southern Baptist Convention happening. And the reason why is because a lot of these seminaries are churning out woke preachers and preacherettes, and they are introducing liberal theology into Southern Baptist churches. And therefore, you've got the Southern Baptist Convention now in a pretty steep, steady decline. And it's a terrible thing. And it's a very fixable thing, but it's not going to be fixed. And the reason why is because a lot of these Baptist universities and colleges, they're just as liberal as the day is long. In all seriousness, there are a couple that there are public universities that are more conservative scripturally than some of these Baptist schools out there. But on top of that, you've got all of these schools churning out these woke theologians. And so the latest thing, and I don't want to get it, we're not getting into the argument over female preachers. But let me just say, in the Southern Baptist tradition, we do not allow women to be pastors in our churches. That's just the way it's always been. And there is a scriptural reason for that, and we're not going to get into that right now. I'm just bear with me for a second. So now the denomination is on the verge of possibly embracing female preachers. And I'm just going to make a bold prediction here, because one of the things that's happened with the Southern Baptist Convention, they have been on a slippery slope. They've been sort of jettisoning all of these things that, you know, they disapproved of. Remember, they were, a lot of the Southern Baptist Convention leaders were rabidly anti-Trump, rabidly. Many of the Southern Baptist leaders are out there saying, well, you people that love America, and if you have an American flag in your church, you're a Christian nationalist. I mean, that's basically, they're calling you Nazis. These are Southern Baptist leaders. And so now they're on the verge of deciding this issue concerning female preachers. And I think at the end of the day, here's what I think is going to happen. I think they are going to approve female pastors, and I think they're going to abandon their long-held beliefs based on Scripture. And very soon, you will start to see churches embracing the LGBT agenda within the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, mark it down. Mark down what I'm telling you. Because once you get on that slope, once you begin the decline, you cannot stop. And if look at the Boy Scouts. Look at what happened with the Boy Scouts. Completely obliterated the Boy Scouts. They ended up having to go bankrupt because they gave up their core beliefs. Well, that's what's happening here. And I hate to say it. But again, this is all part of a concerted effort by the radical LGBT activist. And I want to say something about that for a moment. They are a small but very well-funded and very powerful group of people. But I will say this. The average gay person in America, they're not marching. They're not prancing around in a thong. They're living their lives quietly, minding their own business. They're not in your business, and they don't want you in their business. And I appreciate and respect that. I truly do. And those are the folks that get caught in the middle here. And it's unfortunate. But again, this idea, going back to what Barack Hussein Obama said when the Supreme Court redefined what God originally defined as marriage, Barack Obama said, this is really not going to have any impact at all for any of you out there who are heterosexual or you're in a traditional marriage. Well, now we know that was simply not true. And they are not going to be satisfied until they get control over everything. And that includes your local church. I'm just telling you, pay attention, be prepared, look at the warning signs. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep them from disco, warn about San Francisco. Make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair.
At first, I didn't get why you'd be so scared of us turning your children into accepting, caring people, but I see now why you'd have a problem with that.
Just like you worried, they'll change their group of friends. You won't approve of where they go at night
to protest.
Oh, and you'll be disgusted.
So gross.
When they start finding things online that you've kept far from their sight.
Like information.
Guess what? You'll still be alright. We'll convert your children. Yes, we will.
Reaching one and all, there's really no escaping it.
Cause even grandma likes RuPaul.
And the world's getting kinder.
Alright, well, enough of that. That is the San Francisco Gay Men's Corral. And a couple of things here. I'm pretty sure grandma does not watch RuPaul. Dylan, I'm confused. What's the deal with the pleated pants? Is that gay? I thought that was normal.
Aren't those just pants?
Exactly. I don't know.
We'll have to check on that.
So the San Francisco Gay Men's Corral, they produced a song. They wrote this song called "We're Coming for Your Children," and they say, "Oh, it's just a parody." Do you believe that is a parody? What you just heard. Do you believe that that is a parody, or do you believe that this is what it's really all about? You know, originally they said, well, we got to get them in the high school. And so they had all these gay rights clubs in the high schools. And then they said, well, you know what? We need to start reaching out to the middle school. So they started having all the middle and junior high schools have the gay rights clubs. Then they decided that they were going to reach sixth graders in elementary school. And now it's gotten to a point where now even in preschool, they are having gay pride celebrations. So as a result of this, you've got a lot of confused kids out there, kids that are being taught things that they have no business needing to know about. But this is where we are in the country right now. And again, I go back to this one central thought is that the Trump administration has to crack down here. It's one thing to issue an executive order. It's another thing to actually implement the executive order. And it's just simply not happening. And now you've got towns that are actually pushing back against the transportation department. You know, Sean Duffy said, hey, look, you're not going to be allowed to have any of these rainbow crosswalks anymore. And now towns are defying that. And the reason why is they know there's no teeth to any of this. None whatsoever. That's why the schools, public schools, universities, that's why they're defying the president on all of this LGBT agenda. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Do you believe that song was a parody, or do you really think that's what the end game here is? 901-260-5926, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Interesting story out of Illinois. The Illinois Senate just passed a bill that would allow out-of-state illegal aliens to receive in-state tuition rates at our public universities. Democrats voted 38-19 in favor. All the Republicans in Illinois opposed. This follows a recent law, by the way, that already made the illegals eligible for state scholarships and financial aid. Now, one state senator called out how universities love all the extra revenue, but residents get stuck with the bill. No doubt about that. Now, we know something about that here in the state of Tennessee, where we broadcast our program, because we live in we're right on the border of Arkansas and Mississippi. And therefore, if you are, for example, a resident of Tennessee and you wanted to go to a school in Mississippi, well, you would have to pay out-of-state tuition for that. But what Illinois is doing is they're saying, no, for illegals. Now, let's just say you were born in Indiana. You're born in Indiana, and you want to go to school in Illinois. You, as an American-born person, would have to pay out-of-state tuition. The Democrats have now decided that illegals deserve a leg up, so they're going to be able to pay in-state tuition. Do you find that to be remotely fair, ladies and gentlemen? And again, it goes back to something that I've been telling you from day one. It's one set of rules governing the illegals and another set governing all the rest of us. That's just the way it is. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I love the story out of Nashville. And there are two stories out of Nashville, but the first one involves a lot of small businesses who have joined a coalition, and they are demanding property tax relief. Some of these small businesses are being forced to pay almost $500,000-$600,000 a year in property tax. It's unbelievable. And, of course, Nashville is controlled by Democrats. And all of this is happening as Nashville considers whether or not they're going to be offering incentives for Starbucks to relocate. Take a listen to Cut 1.
Starbucks announces it's coming to Nashville. A who's who of politicians shaking hands, drinking coffee, and talking about how wonderful it will be to bring Starbucks to Nashville. But outside the noisy photo op, a different story. Nashville's oldest restaurant, Verallo's, closed forever because of property tax fallout. The beloved Pelican and Pig, a little slow hand bakery that served amazing cookies at reasonable prices, gone forever. Even if it stopped right here, it would be bad. But it's not close to over.
Jeez, hello. That's insane. There's another big problem, though, in Nashville, and it's the name of the town, Nashville. So they're saying that the name of the town needs to be changed because the person it's named after was a racist. And so, therefore, Nashville needs a new name. This is written by a guy by the name of Peter Chesney in the Nashville, Tennessee newspaper. And Chesney is saying that we need to rename the town. And by the way, Chesney is not even from here. He's an out-of-towner. This is why I am a firm believer in strong border security when it comes to the southern states. We got to be careful who we're letting into the South. We've just got to. So Chesney is out there, and he's saying, well, yeah, the name is really offensive, and I always felt uncomfortable with the name because apparently the guy moves here, and then he's, I don't know, Googling, and one day he goes, well, I wonder what the town is named after. And when he finds out who the town is named after, he just pitched a fit. So now, I am not kidding you, Dylan, the guy wants to rename the town after a civil rights activist. Her name is Diane Nashville.
All right.
So it's still going to be Nashville, but it would be named Diane Nashville.
It'd be D Nash.
D Nash.
We should just help them.
Oh, my word. So this guy Chesney, I think he's over at Vanderbilt, which I'm not terribly surprised. But here's the deal, folks. If you're going to go down this path, you're going to have to rename every town in the South. Every single one. By the way, Memphis, you know, Memphis is named after, you know, Memphis in Egypt, which is a hotbed of slavery, by the way. We're going to rename Memphis? Is that what we're going to do? Oh, by the way, did you see what happened? There was some video circulating, Dylan. There was a big, you know, they spent, what, $60 million to create this beautiful downtown park that nobody wanted. And everybody warned folks, hey, look, you're just asking for trouble. And $60 million, and you know they put in basketball courts, and everybody said, that is a bad idea. Don't do it. What did they do? They put in the basketball courts. And, of course, there have been shootings. There have been fights, all sorts of ugliness. So they had something over the weekend called the Lemon Drop Festival, which was what? Booze? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, Lemon Drop is like a shot. You can take it as a shot.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
People were passed out in the bushes all over the place.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like the aftermath of some sort of a Roman orgy down there.
Oh, gosh.
mean, that's how bad it was. And then apparently there were like fights. Like, I mean, people, because of course, you know, when you've got that much booze,
yeah,
people are going to start fist fights.
Naturally, in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah.
In Memphis. I know it's shocking. I know it's shocking. But it was ugly. So our affiliate, KWAM, which carries this show, they have video on their Facebook page. It is insane. And I don't, you know, it's a common theme among a certain demographic of folks. They're black, big black women, big boned black women going at it right there at Tom Lee Park. And it's because the first thing they do is they grab the hair, Dylan. And, you know, that's always the last thing that's left.
True.
And so there was this huge fight, and they're beating this woman up. And then somebody, she's getting up to leave, and they're like smacking her in the back with an umbrella. And it's like there's like this huge pile of like black on the sidewalk. And it was the woman's hair. And I'm like, ma'am, don't forget your weave. I mean.
Yep. That's what you see.
Don't leave without your weave.
Very smart.
So I'm thinking here, there's going to be a better, I don't know how you attach those things. Is it, I don't know, is it glue or scotch tape, duct tape? But there's got to be something, there's got to be a stronger adhesive is what I'm getting at. Otherwise, you would be better off just leaving the weave at home so you don't, because I'm sure those things cost a pretty penny, right?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
It's like, what, $5-$10 down at the Dollar General? I don't.
If you're going to the Lemon Drop Festival or whatever it's called, you should leave it at home. Things are going to happen.
Yeah, or downtown, and, you know, on Beale Street.
Yeah. Literally anywhere, actually.
Anywhere in Memphis, the mall, church.
Driving in your car.
I'm just saying. Anyway, I hope everybody's okay, but I felt bad for, and who I really feel bad for is the people that have to clean up after all of that stuff. And they're like, nobody wants to pick up a weave. I mean, that's just nasty. Right? I'm just saying. 901-260-5926. What were we talking about here? Lost my train of thought, ladies and gentlemen, but all that to say, what a mess in America. What a mess. By the way, this program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, and they want to make sure you are getting all of the Social Security benefits that you deserve. And they have got a Social Security expert by the name of Michael Allen, and he has 5 key strategies to increase your benefits. It is all in a free special report. Whether you are getting benefits now or you soon will, you got to get the Social Security report. Give them a call, free of charge, by the way, 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. We will text you all the information right away. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, let's go to the phones here. Collierville, Tennessee. Tom is on the line listening to us on the Mighty 990 KWAM. All right, Tom, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. Hey to you too, Dylan. But, Todd, you were talking about the fighting and the hair pulling, and you see all that's left on the sidewalk is that huge black mass. We have a name for it here in Memphis. We call it tumbleweave.
Well, I'm sorry, they're called what? Tumble what?
Tumbleweave.
Oh, tumbleweaves. All right.
Yeah, instead of tumbleweeds like you have out, you know, out west, it's called tumbleweave here. And do you remember the fighting that happened on Mendenhall Road out in the middle of traffic where the guy who wasn't even involved in the fight came out of his car with a couple of weapons?
Oh, I do that. Yeah, that video. That video went nationwide. Yeah, it was viral.
Okay. I won't mention the name of my company. But we're a pretty large HVAC company here in Memphis, probably one of the biggest. And we're watching this video, and when the guy gets out of his cars with the guns right through the intersection, in prominent view is one of our vans with our company logo on the side. It was beautiful.
Well, you can't, look, free advertising. You can't beat that, Tom.
No, oh, sir, you can't. Y'all have a great week. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it. Dylan, you remember that video? The guy, and he was just nonchalant about it. I think he popped out of his own vehicle with an AR-15.
Yeah, just very casual. Yeah.
Mm.
Just everyday things that you see.
Yeah. You know, it's here fun. In Memphis it is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and again, they were like, crime has been cured in Memphis. No, it hasn't.
No, we put a Band-Aid on it.
Well, yeah, look, I don't think people are carjacking as much. But even like last night, you had, what, I think five or six people get shot in Memphis, two on the interstate. It's not good. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John. Hi, Pastor John. What's on your mind?
You know, you're talking about the gay pride thing at the swimming pool in Denton, Texas, and mosques at every street corner. Todd, I have the best cure-all for all of that since Texas is Texas. You call, Paxton calls in the Texas Rangers. Walker Texas Rangers-style justice. You get rid of it, you put an end to it, and you enforce the laws of the great state of Texas. Problem solved.
What would you expect? Well, hold on. Pastor, and I'm curious here. So let's say you have, you know, God rest his soul, Chuck Norris. But let's say Chuck Norris came back and was leading the Texas Rangers. I'm not sure how they would handle, you know, a swimming pool filled with about 75 big hairy men and thongs.
Well, first of all, they would probably, before the thing opened up, Todd, is they would tactically surround the area with Constantino wire and just shut the operation down.
Or,
honestly, this is Texas, okay, where guns are welcome and other things aren't if they enforce the laws of the great state of Texas.
So you're telling me Texas is a thong-free zone?
I would like to think so, Todd, but you know what?
I have a solution.
I don't know what they're going to do about that, Todd.
Hold on, Pastor. I've got a solution here. You know, Dylan, you've seen this. You've been at the big public swimming pools, and they got the lifeguards there, and they've got, you know, there are leaves or whatever in the pool. What do? They had the huge net, right? And so they scoop all the stuff out. So that maybe that's what they could do, and just scoop up
it's a really big
swimmers,
net.
Yeah, clothed in thongs.
What is that made out of?
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, man. I'm spitballing. All right.
Just beat the Texas Rangers, brother. That's what they got to do.
So the Texas Rangers. All right. This is not a bad idea. The problem is, you know, they had a new iteration of Walker Texas Ranger. I don't know if you saw this, but unfortunately.
I hate that show.
Oh, it was terrible. The new Walker Texas Ranger was like manscaping, and he was sort of like a metrosexual.
Walker Texas Skipping, then that's what you call it. But yeah. There's only one true Walker, and that is the late great God loving Christian conservative, the late great Chuck Norris.
Amen. Well said, Pastor John. Yeah, the new guy is like he was getting in touch with his feelings, and it was just too much for me. He was basically, you know, a woman with a beard. Pastor John.
He heard too much of it. Couldn't take it.
You're right. The net wouldn't work. I was working through the logistics.
Maybe like a crane or something?
Well, yeah.
Like one of those claw machines?
Oh, like a bulldozer you could bring, yeah. You know, just scoop, you know, scoop and, you know.
But it's like built into the pool, so you can operate it as the lifeguard, do the double, you know, knock out two birds with one stone.
You know, my favorite, we were talking about that. My favorite pool scene was in Caddyshack. Have you seen Caddyshack?
I have not.
Dylan, what? Homework. What is wrong with your generation? Have you not seen?
Helen is shaming me too. What is with this movie? Is this
movie? It's a great comedy of all time, and there are so many great lines. And there, of course, the late great Rodney Dangerfield was one of the stars. And there's a scene which was the infamous swimming pool scene that I'm sure Helen is aware of, where they thought that somebody had an accident in the pool. And people are like running and screaming for the light. It's kind of like a Jaws. They had the Jaws music and dun, 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 dun. And you could see it. It was just like floating there on the top of the pool.
I have seen that scene.
This log-like.
Yes. Yes.
And it turned out to be a baby Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That part I've seen, not the rest of the movie.
Shockingly, when I saw that as a kid, that was the last time I ever went swimming and last time I ever had a baby Ruth. I said, yeah,
I can understand that.
I'm good there. I'm good there. So, there you have it. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. You know, we should have given this a bit more hype, and maybe we'll talk more about it later, but one of the things we do in addition to our 1-hour or 3-hour radio show and the one-hour Newsmax show is that I host a daily commentary, and they're like, they're 2 one-minute commentaries, and many, many, many stations around the nation carry this commentary. We are now celebrating like our 15th anniversary of doing those commentaries. So that's pretty exciting milestone. And a lot of people say it reminds them of what the old Paul Harvey used to do, Paul Harvey News and Comment. And then we have the Todd Starnes News and Commentary. So anyway, thank you to all of the great stations around the nation that are broadcasting our commentaries as we celebrate our 15th anniversary. We're very excited about it, and we're just going to keep on keeping on. You know, we're not one of the big corporate gurus here. So we're an independently owned mom and pop operation, and we're just excited to be able to broadcast to you every single day on the radio. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So last night, Dylan, got word the book is officially at the printers, and we should start getting copies very, very soon.
That's very exciting.
This is my biggest book. It's almost 350 pages, which is pretty large for me.
That is a big Todd Starnes book.
That is a big Todd Starnes book. I like that. I can't wait for you to read this book, folks. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And you'll be able to pre-order it right now, which I encourage you to do. And that ensures that you get your copy on the release date. Again, you can do that by going to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or Books A Million, or honestly, wherever you buy your books. Those of you living in Memphis, I want to encourage you to go or call Novel Memphis, and you can pre-order a copy there. Show your local independent bookstore a little bit of love. They have been very good friends of late, and they carry all of my books, and we're very thankful for that. So again, if you're in Memphis, order online, Novel Memphis, or if you're at the bookstore, you can order it. I ordered 5 copies on Sunday, so there you go. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting article on CNBC. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. An organization called Foundation Future Industries, they want to start putting humanoid robots in the military. Now, the startup has already tested its humanoid robots in Ukraine, and they're hoping to bring this sort of technology into the U.S. military. The robotics company recently, believe it or not, brought on Eric Trump, the president's son, as a chief strategy advisor. And by chief strategy advisor, it means he's got the president's cell phone number. Silicon Valley is now racing to build humanoid robots that can fold laundry and pour a latte. At least one startup sees a very different use for the technology, war, or other potentially hazardous and deadly jobs. May I just stop right there? Are you guys in on all of this, the humanoid robots, and would you hire do you hire them? Do you rent them? What do you do? Do you own them? At that point, do you become like a slave owner? I mean, if the humanoid robot, you're not paying the humanoid robot, right, to fold your laundry, pour a latte? I have many questions about this. I'm not sure how I would feel about having a robot just sort of like lurking about. Like, even here in the building, could you imagine, Dylan, if we had, like, at KWAM, the news radio station I own, could you imagine if we had, like, robots reading the news?
No. I'm scared he'll take my job. Because he probably doesn't cost that much.
Well, the problem is the robots would not know how to say Maine. Come on, Maine?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you'd have to program that in.
It's a whole Memphis dialect.
Yeah. That's years and years of history you have to program in.
Come on, Maine. No, it doesn't work. Foundation Future Industries. They're developing dual-use autonomous humanoid robots for both heavy industrial environments and military applications. While the robots sound like something out of a Terminator science fiction movie, they are nearing reality with early iterations undergoing tests in Ukraine for potential use in Kiev's war against Russia. Now, core to the company's mission is the belief that humanoid robots should be put towards humanity's greatest challenges rather than household chores and service roles. Really? Well, have you seen some of the bathrooms across America? I think that you could say that would be one of humanity's greatest challenges. Cleaning the bathroom.
I think the Bucky's employee that works in the bathroom is a humanoid robot.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, who would want to? You have to live in that bathroom.
That is true. You do.
It's us, but I can't imagine how terrible it is for them.
It's your domain.
Yeah.
That is your domain.
Yeah.
And it's got to be sparkling clean.
Very true. And it is.
That's why, you know, I think one of the reasons why I think they don't allow you to eat the burritos on campus, right? There's no place to sit and eat.
No, you have to take it outside.
You do.
Yeah.
Far, far away. Downwind. So anyway, these humanoid robots, they're basically saying that the better use would be for them to fight our wars as opposed to humans. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, by the way. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The foundation CEO, his name is Sankate Pathak. He says, I'm convinced the technology is reaching a level where it can replace jobs that are dangerous for humans to perform. And if you can do that, it's the highest net good you can create out of all applications of robotics. You know, I'm wondering, while they're introducing these robots, and they're scary looking, they look like they could kill you because they can. My question would be, and my concern would be, let's just say that you're, I don't know, on Amazon one day, and you're looking to hire a lady robot to wash dishes, to rotate your tires, to change the oil in your car, you know, all these things, and you accidentally get one of the military robots instead. What happens at that point? Who's liable? The startup has set ambitious targets for itself. They're planning to scale production to thousands of units this year and to begin frontline testing with the U.S. military within the next 18 months. The plans and the firm's growing ties to D.C. represent yet another example of how artificial intelligence and robotics are beginning to transform modern warfare and become a focus of national security. I mean, in some ways, I mean, just think about this. If all of these advancements continue, I mean, at what point are, for example, fighter jets irrelevant when you could just send a drone up? This is all fascinating. Soon after the foundation started, there was another group called Cobalt Robotics. And they've got ties with General Motors. Oh, great. So now you're going to have, like, the robots driving your cars. That's where I do draw the line. I just have a big problem with that. The ongoing tests are backed by the U.S. government and conducted with Ukrainian officials focused on logistics in hazardous areas. The war, now in its fifth year, has seen the use of ground robots to deliver supplies to the front line and autonomous and AI-augmented drones for precision strikes and reconnaissance. You know, I could go with like a Grubhub style. You know, I mean, if the robots are going to deliver your food, maybe they can get it faster to you without an attitude. Do you have to tip the robots?
Maybe with oil. No.
Could be. You never know. The foundation aims to send new and improved robots to Ukraine this year in the form of its Phantom 2. The company says the robots will come with superhuman abilities and double the payload capacity of Phantom 1. I just see this all ending very, very badly. And only because I've seen the Terminator movies. But if you're in the military now, you know, what will that look like 5, 10 years from now? Will humans actually be able to join the military, Or will we get to a point where we just use, I don't know, these robot, you know, these robot brigades? All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Oh, boy. So the left-wingers over at People for the American Way, these people are sleazeballs. One of the chief sleazeballs is a guy by the name of Kyle Mantaglia. And this guy has been, like, I don't know, stalking me for, gosh, 15 years or so. It's just weird, man. So anyway, they're all upset because I of something I asked on news or something I said on Newsmax, and I stand by what I said. If I was invited to actually host one of the debates, I would ask James Tallarico, who is a 37-year-old man, who, by the way, says he has yet to come to terms with his masculinity. I was going to ask him, have you now come to terms with your manhood, or do you, sir, perhaps have an affinity for frilly underpants? I think it's a pretty fair question. Oh, by the way, the girlfriend has now emerged. A lot of people were like, does the guy have a girlfriend? And so then he announced that he does in fact have a girlfriend. Dylan, I kid you not, the woman says that she loves to hang out at gay bars.
Someone needs to tell him.
I'm not sure this woman, maybe that's how they met. I don't know. And by the way, what do I care? What does anybody care? You know, it's, come on.
They became best friends at the gay bar. That's the story.
What is it about the women, though? The women love to have, what do they call them? Like a gay friend, gay best friend.
That's him.
Maybe that's what we're talking about here.
That's tough.
But again, what do I care? But he's out there, and it seems like the harder he tries to prove that he's a man, it comes across, I'm a man. Jazz hands. Just be honest with everybody. That's all. Just be honest with yourself. That's all. I am really excited about this story from the New York Post. This story makes me happy, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the headline. A shocking number of millennial and Gen Z parents spank their kids. That's according to a new study. Gen Z parents say spanking is necessary to raise a child properly. I love this. The new study found a large swath of Gen Z and millennial parents still use spanking as a form of punishment. This is according to the Canadian Journal of Public Health. The research revealed that when this demographic of parents was asked whether they had ever spanked their child, about 20% said yes. Meanwhile, 45% of Gen Xers say they spanked their kids. Yeah, and look how we turned out, right? We turned out great. Gen Xers, we're good folk. Experts, though, say the practice of spanking is not beneficial and carries serious long-term consequences. Dr. Isha Mannering telling the New York Post, I generally do not recommend physical discipline. Miss Manning is a doctor, pediatrician, parenting expert, and a mother. I bet her kids are little hellions. I'm just telling you. She says, while it may result in compliance in the moment, it does so through fear rather than by teaching the deeper skills children actually need, such as self-regulation or sound judgment. You see, I would sincerely disagree with her on this. I think a good swift smack to the bottom will self-regulate a whole lot of bad behavior. While younger generations use less discipline than their predecessors, 15% of the adults surveyed reported believing that spanking was necessary to raise a child properly. She cites Mannering says that physical discipline can normalize the use of force as a response to frustration or conflict. Meanwhile, a 2017 study found that children who are spanked are more likely to become violent with a romantic partner later in life. I do not believe that. I don't believe it. The World Health Organization defines corporal punishment as any in which physical force is used and intended to cause some degree of pain or discomfort. Yes, we call them butt whoopings. That's what we call them. The American Academy of Pediatrics strongly discouraged spanking in its 1998 clinical report. And in 2018, they flat out abolished it. They say, although many children who are spanked become happy, healthy adults, current evidence suggests spanking is not necessary and may result in long-term harm. Really, ladies and gentlemen, I'm curious your thoughts on that. Do you believe that spanking your children has caused worldwide harm? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Let's get right to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Don in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Don, what's on your mind?
Well, I thought I would weigh in. I have a couple of questions for you, but I thought I would weigh in on the whipping part of it. You asked a question. I got my last whipping from my dad when I was 12 years old. I deserved it. I knew I deserved it. I got it. I had no disrespect for my dad. I love my dad tremendously, and he gave me what is commonly termed tough love. And I decided at that time I didn't want any more of those, and so I've tried to be a pretty good person ever since. I think that there's times in anybody's life that's raising a child when they have to exhibit some tough love. I don't mean beat a kid, but it means give them a whipping. I mean, there has to be reward and punishment. If you do good, you're rewarded. If you do bad, you're punished. And that's just my personal opinion on that.
You know, Don, I remember my dad was the same way, and he was the disciplinarian in the household. And, you know, and I'm with you. I mean, I don't recall a single time that I did not deserve, you know, to get a spanking. But one of the things I did take my dad to task on years later when he said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I really don't believe that to be the case, Don.
You're definitely right about that. I never got that part either. Okay, now we've covered that. What's going on with AOC? I haven't been able to listen to the news for a while, and I'm just now getting back into it. And my wife told me that something, she's been punished or something. Is that true?
No. The last I heard about AOC is that she's thinking about literally running for president of the United States in 2028. That's the big news. And otherwise, yeah, I think she's just out there endorsing a lot of far left candidates. So that's about all I've heard.
That might be false news. That's why I asked you. The other thing of my last question, and I'll hang up and let you talk to me about it. What's been decided from the president now that we understand that Iran has said, no, we're going to keep the Bay of Hormuz. We're just going to go ahead and take it back over and all that. We're rejecting all the president's recommendations and all that. We're not going with them, what America says. Are we going to go ahead and take them out and take care of it, or are we going to dilly-dally around like we've been doing for ages?
Don, I'm leaning towards dilly-dally. I think the president should have gone in. We should have cleaned house from day one, and that did not happen. And now what I think is happening inside the White House is you're getting a lot of different presidential advisors giving very different answers to questions. And I think the president's trying to figure out which way to go. I think he needs to listen to his gut on this. I think we need to, again, the original point of all of this was to go in and get, you know, to dismantle and destroy the nuclear facilities. And if we've done that, let's declare victory, show the evidence, declare victory, and move on with our lives.
I'm with you. Yeah, how many times can a person lie to you before you you start to disbelieve anything
yeah.
they say.
It's a great question you raise here, Don. And how many times do we have to go through this? It's so predictable. We know what Iran is going to do because they've done it time and time again. So, again, we'll see. I know there were some U.S. airstrikes overnight, but again, this we can't have this go on forever. We just can't.
I enjoy your program. I love you. Keep doing what you're doing, and pray for America.
Amen, Don. Amen. Thank you for listening to Patriot Talk 920. Good people down there at that radio station. All right, let's go to David, Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. David, you were the guy that got me plugged into the Memphis Italian Festival.
Yeah, I was calling to see how North Mississippi's newest Italian gravy judge was doing.
Well, you know, I'm doing well. I paced myself. And, you know, the good news is there were no, like, noodles or anything. So it was, like, straight sauce when, you know, that that I had to judge over the weekend.
Gravy.
I'm sorry. It is gravy. I should have learned. My goodness. So David, that was pretty impressive. And I didn't realize how many judges were involved in all of this.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I tried to come up and see you because I work there as part of the volunteer from the church. But we have people from all over the country come to that. Wisconsin, New York, Illinois, Kentucky, Texas. They all come into the Memphis Italian Festival.
Yeah, there were a lot of competitors there. Now, let me ask you, because this has been going on for a long time, and it was put on by the Holy Rosary Catholic Church. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Holy Rosary Catholic Church Men's Club.
Wow. Well, you guys did a tremendous job of setting it all up and everything. I just don't know how you guys did that, because, I mean, there are a lot of people. I mean, did they have a total number of the folks that were at the festival?
They will. I don't know what it is yet. We'll get that in a meeting in the next couple of weeks. We have, like I said, we have teams from all over the country. We have visitors that come in from all over the country. It is an official Memphis and May sanctioned event, and we're one of the last all family events around. You know, so there was kids playland, there was the gravy contest, there was arts and crafts, there was live music all day. So.
We were at a table. There were six of us, and the guy who was seated directly across from me, he was like, "I know your voice from somewhere." And he said, "I can't figure it out." And so I let him on. We had a little bit of fun. And then he was like, "Oh my gosh, I follow you on X." So we had a good conversation there, and really met some very, very nice people. And Harold Greitner, who's with the Liberty Bowl, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, was there, one of the guest judges. So it was a lot of fun. And I did not get to stick around for the grape crushing competition. That looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, they have three different types of grape stomping. They have the teams do theirs on Friday night, and then they have the alumni in the school Friday night, and then they have the teams on Saturday afternoon. And with what I do for the Italian festival, I don't get to see a lot of that. I'm behind the scenes fixing what gets broke here and there and keeping the power on. So,
well, you know, I did run into about seven or eight guys and gals. They're from the National Guard. They were all from out of state, and they were just having the time of their lives. So went over and said hello to them, and we thanked them for all the great work they're doing. But they certainly seem to be having a good time out there.
Oh, yeah. They were out there throwing footballs with kids and playing around and doing all sorts of great things.
Wow. I didn't realize we had that many Italians here in the Mid-South. Great representation.
Quite a few.
All right. And then there were some, though. I'm thinking one of them was like O'Reilly. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound very Italian to me, but you know.
Yes, sir.
Well, David, thank you so much for the invitation. What a great honor. And that was a tough assignment. They take the judging very seriously there at the Italian Fest.
Well, you were on the gravy side, and they judge wine, they judge how they decorate their booths, they even have the porta potty decorating contest. So,
oh,
there's several contests there.
Maybe that's what I should do next year.
And then we have the cornhole tournament and the bocce tournament. So,
I mean, you can't get much more Italian than that, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Well, David, thank you again, and what a wonderful ministry and outreach for the church, Holy Rosary Church there in Memphis. Beautiful church, great people, a lot of fun. Look, if I judge next year, I can't do the wine because I'm a Baptist. What do I know? I'll handle anything else.
Right.
All right, David. David, thank you. God bless. Dylan, there were a lot of people at this festival.
It sounds like it was a hoot.
No parking. So the good news is, I mean, I parked about a mile away.
You get your steps in.
But it's like 92, 93 degrees, and the humidity is like, 300% here in Memphis.
Yeah, that'll get you. I feel like I would be pretty good at the stomping competition. I don't know.
I think you would have. I think you would have taken them out.
Probably. I wear a size 14 shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, not to tote my horn.
We should have entered the Todd Stern Show as like a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Everybody had like these teams, like cooking teams. Everybody had like t-shirts.
Yeah.
They had these elaborate displays, the whole nine yards. I was impressed.
I feel like out of all the competitions, that one gets the dirtiest, though. I mean, you get your,
grape smashing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They have a washing station after that.
What happens to the grapes? That's what I want to know.
I don't know if I want to drink something that someone's feet's been in.
How does that play out?
Yeah.
That's what
there's probably a method.
By the way, I'm getting hate mail now from this People from the American Way article. What's it like to be a journalist? This is from Justin St. Jean. What's it like to be a journalist? Best known for getting kicked the blank off what? Oh, I can't repeat that. Why are you so worried about other men's underpants? Why is your head so blanking flat that I can't even look at you, you dumb blanking piece of blank? You look like Lindsey Graham's waxed blank blank, you blanking lying failure.
How does he know what that looks like?
I have no idea. Maybe he and Lindsey are close. I don't know. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. Well, I'll play some audio for you, by the way. Our number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So this is kind of weird. Let's go ahead and just play this. It's Cut 13, and you're listening to salsa music. Let's go ahead and play. Yep, if we can get that going. There we go. And these are all gay men doing salsa dancing for Good Morning America. Owned by Disney, kicking off their Pride Month celebration. Sitting there eating your Lego waffles, and the next thing you know, you got a bunch of gay men gyrating across your TV screen.
All right. Well, welcome back to GMA, and that was an amazing performance by Pride Salsa, helping us kick off Pride Month celebrations here at GMA, shining a light on the beauty of the LGBTQ+ community. And this morning, it's all about the dance floor.
Jazz hands.
Salsa is not just music and dance, it's a feeling. Let's go. Vimal Pradeep, originally from India, fell in love with that feeling before moving to New York City, eager to create a safe space for people like him to embrace salsa out loud.
Many of my friends in the queer scene came to know about my salsa dance experience. They were like, oh, you should teach. We should do a very queer-centric salsa class.
In 2023, Pradeep began instructing classes with the goal of creating a more inclusive approach to the dance.
In the traditional salsa scene, the gender roles are pretty strict. Women follow, men lead.
It's a man dance with a woman, woman dance with man. And it's pretty hard finding a spot where I would feel comfortable doing the woman's role. And so when I found Vimal and his mission, everybody dances with everybody.
Pride Salsa has now blossomed into a vibrant community.
One, two, three. To me, it's just not the dance alone. It's the people that I get to do that with. And if you can do it freely without any judgment, that's the best feeling ever.
And yes, and we're joined now. We're here now with Vimal Pradeep. He is the founder and owner of Pride Salsa. And Vimal, thank you so much for being here with us. And how did it make you feel to grow this dance community?
I feel fabulous. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Personally for me, it's about building home far away from home, which is India for me. Mm-hmm. And also dancing is a form of resistance and liberation. And especially as queer bodies dancing together, we all love it. It means a lot to us. Hopefully it's the same for all the folks that's watching
us. Stop. Dylan, I'm curious here. So they want queer bodies dancing together. I get that, but why do you have to do that on Good Morning America in front of God and country and people just having their first cup of Sanka, for crying out loud?
Yeah, it's a good question.
All very odd.
It's a weird way to describe it.
Exactly. So anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the focus of Good Morning America. And they spent like 5 or 6 minutes on this entire segment. So when you step back and you have to ask yourself, out of all the things that were happening in America today, all of the incredible celebrations that are happening, graduations and good-hearted things that are happening, you're telling me that the most important thing on Good Morning America is an Indian salsa dancer who, by the way, technically should be accused of cultural appropriation, because I thought salsa dancing was actually, I thought salsa dancing was like from south of the border, not India. But again, that's just me. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Doug, WDUN. Doug, what say you?
If I'm not mistaken, Todd, I think I heard one of those gentlemen say, it's the best feeling ever. Well, I don't think he's telling us the truth, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, geez, Lord. Bye. Thank you, Doug.
I don't want to think about that.
I don't either. I really don't either. All right, let's try to work in another call here. Let's go to the panhandle of Oklahoma, KGYN, great radio station. Mac, what is on your mind?
How's it going, Todd? I'm glad you're healthy and back at it again.
Thank you, sir.
Modern radio. We lost an iconic Rush Limbaugh, and you guys are doing an outstanding job. And I love your radio show. And I'm glad you're healthy again.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
What's on the mind is the Iranian conflict. It's just we can't get united over. It seems like the country can't get united very easily over anything. Maybe our celebration, 250 celebration, will do some of that, but. You are 2 days and 2 years older than me, so I relate to you big time. We kind of grew up with some great memories, and I wish we could have that again.
Well, I do too. I remember the big celebration in 1976, the 200th anniversary, and I mean it was really a unique, fun time in the country. And I think we're seeing aspects of that here. But Mac, I think you're right. The country is divided. At least that's the way the media likes to portray things. And unfortunately, that's just the way things are right now. But with this Iran war, we've just, the president's going to have to say, okay, here's how we're going to do this. Let's do it. Get it over with. Get it done. And let's get on with our lives.
I agree 100%. But there is a caveat on my side, and that is, the Iranian people that want change must be have some kind of small arms or something to make a stand. They are just helpless. You've seen what 40,000 they claim have been slaughtered.
Yeah.
So that's just unacceptable for a country that has no voice with like 2% of the population in control of the country. So
Mac, I gotta leave it there, my friend, because we're wrapping the show, but you're absolutely right there, and that is a fine caveat. Folks, we'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax.